This is an LA Times Studios podcast.
Hi, listener. My name is Madison McGee, and I'm the host of the new show, LA Crimes. In a moment, you'll listen to a sneak peek of the first episode where I'm joined by Dateline's Josh Mankiewicz to discuss recent updates to the 1980s Menendez brothers case. We get into the original murder, how the brothers have permeated into pop culture, and whether or not they have an actual shot at freedom. I hope you enjoy. On today's show, our first ever episode, we will be discussing one of America's biggest murder cases, the Menendez brothers. Later on the show, we'll have LA Times reporter Richard Witten to update us on why the decades-old murder is back in the news and whether the brothers have any kind of shot at freedom. But before we go any further, I want to introduce you to today's guest, Dateline correspondent Josh Mankiewicz. Josh, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Madison.
Josh, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but part of why this case has become so popular again is because of some TV programs about it that you really can't escape. And you are not new to this phenomenon of television impacting or bringing back old cases or cold cases into the public sphere. Do you have any examples of cases that you've covered that that's happened with or stories that you've seen?
Yeah, I ended up doing a Dateline piece about the Tiger King case because of the charges that now we're in the weeds, that he made about Carol.
Right.
Which the popularity of the Tiger King documentary and the Menendez documentary drove the coverage. There's no question the coverage drove people to in the criminal justice system to reevaluate those cases, or certainly in the Menendez case to reevaluate that. You will not convince me that the DA Gascon was not looking for votes when he started talking about maybe changing their sentence right before he was up for reelection. So it's a wind that sort of blows back on itself, and that happens all the time. There's no question about it.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think a lot of people who are in those situations, I'm friends with people who have been involved in cases that got a lot of public attention. Sometimes they don't really like the attention because it brings up a lot of hard feelings and negative feelings. But then in my case, oh, that's all I want, or I think I want, right? And so it's this weird line of the attention can really help a case, but the impact it has can be the opposite.
This is something that's come up fairly recently with me. You want the attention, but that's because your case hasn't been solved yet. Now, let's say, as I expect, you do end up solving that case, and then you're on Dateline. And then, as I also expect, Alicia Vikander plays you in the movies, and I get to go to the premiere with you. I've thought about all of this. Then you go on to something else, some other case or some other story or some other career entirely. We don't know. But in 5 years, some cable network calls you and says, we're doing a story about your father and you, and we want you to cooperate. And you say, I'm kind of past that, and we solved it, and I've dealt with it, and I don't want to do it anymore. And they say, fine, we'll do it without you. And so then they do it without you, and they hire a stand-in to play young Madison and then another one to play older Madison, right? And then it comes out, and you think, that was terrible, right? And I feel kind of a little victimized by that. That's something that families in the world of true crime have felt. And I've talked to a couple of them about it, which is, and they've said to me, I loved being on Dateline and it really helped us, right? And you guys were great with us. The trailing edge of true crime, the people who pick up the story 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years later and want to do it, and they don't operate under the same journalistic strictures that we do. I cannot say on Dateline that somebody was a suspect if they weren't a suspect. And if I say that, then I later have to say, and John Smith was later released from custody and police never filed any charges and they realized he'd been somewhere else at the time of the murder. I mean, if we make somebody a suspect on Dateline, we also are careful to exonerate them or at least say what did eventually happen with that. But other people are not under those requirements because they don't consider themselves journalists. They consider themselves filmmakers or documentarians and they're in a different world than we are.
Yeah. I think, it's this weird line between journalistic integrity, which in my mind, like a Dateline and LA Times, like these bigger news organizations have, is very different from like entertainment. And I think that line to a consumer is becoming thinner and thinner.
I think it's becoming nearly invisible. I mean, I'd be kidding myself if I told you that people perceive, you know, the stories that Dateline has done on the Menendez case, which were done not by me but by Keith Morrison, and the documentary, that they perceive them as being sort of held to different journalistic standards. I don't think people think about that at all. They think of them as being two versions of the same story, and they have equal weight in their minds.
Yeah, and even, you know, the Ryan Murphy show. Like, that's a scripted show, and, right. You know, you see it at the very beginning of any scripted show, like based on a true story. So you already have this sort of disclaimer that details could have been shuffled or changed to make this more exciting for TV. And I think people probably watch this show and then read an article about the Menendez brothers and think that that's the same.
So I was doing a story once that we had found out about, that Dateline had, you know, we get stories from all over the place. I mean, we're reading the paper every day all over the country and local stations now, because we've been doing this for so long, they call us, and police departments and prosecutors that we've worked with in the past, and certainly reporters around the country say, I don't know how this is going to come out, but this looks like the kind of thing you guys are going to want to do. So we find a story, we heard about a story because it had run on some very obscure cable network, not one of the ones that you think about when you think about true crime. I can't remember which one it was. And so we got it from there, and I saw their take on the story. And so then we go book some people, and we're interviewing them. And I'm interviewing the prosecutor, and I say, so tell me about, you know, these other suspects, because there was a time when you didn't believe it was this guy. You thought it was these other people. And she goes, oh, you saw that show on, and then she named the cable network, which I can't remember what it was. And I'm like, yeah. She goes, yeah, they made that up. There weren't any other suspects. She goes, I don't know where that came from. We were only looking at Mr. Smith, and there was never anybody else. But they put that in to make it seem like there was, you know, some back and forth, some zigzag to the investigation. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, we should not even be in this room right now.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk a little bit about – I think about this a lot with, like, justified killings and all of this stuff. You know, it's very prevalent with, like, the Gypsy Rose thing. I mean, there's a lot of cases like this where it's, like, should – to me, they killed someone. They killed two people. And I think that there still should be justice – for that. And I feel like the idea that now we've sort of rested the morality of murder in the hands of TikTok because of a television show feels very weird to me. But this is like, it's not just this case. There's other cases where this is happening. And it's a very weird situation for me because even I see it in my reviews on my podcast, like, oh, well, your dad was a drug dealer. Of course he got killed. And it's like, why are we like setting the idea of morality behind murder in the hands of like random people who just have opinions?
You know, look, our attention span as a nation, as a people, has diminished significantly. And that's affecting everything from our politics to things like, you know, is someone guilty of a crime? What punishment do they deserve as a result? And I don't see that changing except maybe for the worse.
Yeah. And not that I think our system is perfect, but it is interesting that we think now, like, we can just get on Reddit and decide whether or not someone deserved to be murdered or not. That seems very...
It is astonishing that people who have seen a TV show and think that now they understand the case. It's probably a mistake to look at any one program and make your decisions about how the legal system should react and should punish the people in that based on seeing one 60-minute or 120-minute program. There's always going to be some nuance. People like black and white, you know? People like that. People like a clear choice. The problem is, particularly when it comes to crime or when it comes to murder or when it comes to cold cases, like it's all one big gray blur sometimes.
Thanks for listening to this short clip from the show. Later in the episode, Josh and I get the full scoop on the Menendez hearings from LA Times reporter Richard Winton. I promise you won't want to miss it. Check out LA Crimes on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube to hear the full episode.